Good morning. Okay, I was born in the province of Bocas del Toro. I grew up there as a young boy. And in my youth, I traveled on to the island of Bocas, where I studied up my secondary school and finished up there, and got married and traveled on to Costa Rica for my theological study, and then returned back to Panama. And now I'm here in the city of Panama. Directly, my religion is the St. Jude International Spiritual Baptist Church. We are spiritual. We are, the people come and call it jump up, but it is revival, okay, from the African Jamaican descendants. So now I'm just bishop in one of the branches here in the city of Panama.
So you see a connection
between your religion and that heritage that is of African descent? Yes, exactly. Not according to how we, the younger one, have it, but according to what our grandmother, grandparents told us about our religion coming on from Jamaica, across the Antilles Island and to the Isthmus of Panama. So according to what they told me is that this religion were brought to Panama, the Isthmus of Panama, the 10th of January 1910 by the Reverend Isaac Orr, who were establishing the Isthmus of Panama and established the first religion as the Mount Plural International Baptist Church, and from there other groups spring from the Mount Plural. Oh, my childhood was it wasn't as today that we saw it, okay? My childhood was more go to Sunday school and Sunday. In the weekday is go to school. Those times we go to school twice a day. We go in the morning and we come off in the afternoon and we go back and come six, and that we rest. And we, my parents were very poor, so I spent my youth helping by selling things on the street, like what we call today brogadap. Those in the island, we call it bakes, because we use a different expression to the things that our food line, bakes and fry fish. And we go selling it on the lines and the dock. We call it dock, it's a port anyway. And I passed my childhood that way, helping my mother and my father in their business. Okay, we usually eat, we have different meals, okay, and Sunday is our special dish with our rice and peas and chicken and fried plantain with chicha. And then in the week we might eat white rice and fish and bread kinds, what we call ground food, yuca, banana, plantain, boils together with meat, whenever have meat, when you have meat, whether it's codfish, something, any things alike, but that's, you know, our food. Majority is ground food. Today, the young people want rice. In my days, we have rice, but the rice is special for Sunday. And then you drink your cocoa, your chocolate, and your bakes, and your pudding in the morning, Sunday, Easter, special. Every day is something special. Every festivity is a different making, baking, and preparation for that day. Today, we don't know the difference between the meals because everything is just transformed now. Okay? Okay, concerning.
Like anything that stands out
Well, I just remember that, yes, when I was a child, and, you know, like how we grow and what we call in the earth skirt, we call it the, well, we, when you're in the town and we out inside, we say we're in the bush, and we want to come out the bush and we want to come to town to see what's going on in town. And I remember when I was smaller, that always, my brother and I, we always had the idea that we want to go to town, we want to come out the bush, because we didn't get in nothing and we want to know the town. So we just planned that we're going to leave mama and leave papa, and we're going to run away. We're coming out the bush and we're going to town. And I remember we was going, coming from Bocas to Cologne to see what is this in the new town. And I remember that coming on there, they asked us, where are y'all going? So we going to Cologne, where you have to pay y'all, these kids, y'all just have 6 years, we didn't know where we going anywhere. And they just take us and carry us back. And I remember my mother and my father give us a lash that I will never forget, that we never think again to come to town. We stay in the bush until when we get big and everybody start to go to school.
So who were your
best friends in that time? Who were your best friends? My best friends those time were a young lady by the name of Edilma. We go to school together. We grew all over. And a young fella by the name of Ernesto Ellington also. We go to school together, and we used to do whatsoever child's this rudeness, we said, then together. So those are still my good friends, because we graduate all school together. Now they are profession, they take out a career, and I take theological part of studies. Yes, sometimes when we meet together, you know, but time, because I am here in Panama, she's in Bocas, and my other friend is in Changuinola area, so we are separate, but we just call one another and talk over, you know, childhoods and so forth. Okay, my grandparents is from my grandfather, from mother's side is from Jamaica. Okay, he say that he's from St. Catherine. I don't know, they have never been to Jamaica. And my grandfather from my father's side is from Jan Caymans. In Spanish we call it Isla Cayman. Okay. And they are told us a different stories and things like that, but the mind don't really project, because those times we young, we are not interested in those things what they used to told us. But the root of my descendants is from Jamaica and Cayman's Island, directly. School for me those days is just to go and play. Okay. And when I wasn't interested in school those days, but the more I were growing up, I realized the importance of going to school. Because to tell you that I graduated from my secondary school when I was 20, and I went on to university, to tell you how long I stayed in primary, going around, repeating. But I remember a teacher by the name of Teacher Edna Burke. And she drew my attention and she told me, Mr. Kelly, you are getting out to be an old man in primary school. It's time enough for you to get out. And don't run down life. Give life time, and time will give you what you want. And I take that, and I never forget that word until today. And I put it in, and I went on, force on. And I remember I passed my primary school with that teacher, because she used to counsel me a lot. and I take it in because I wasn't too good. I run here, run there, and try to do every little things those time when we was kid, you know, by fighting here, make trouble in school and so forth, for them to throw me out to school, to don't go back to school and so forth. It's not like today, we used to do those kind of things, okay? But that's my school career, and I enjoyed being in primary, and when I reached secondary, then I realized the serious it was, okay? But thank God to where I reach today. Well, in those days when I was growing up, we used to listen more at home. We couldn't listen to nothing else but just the music mama put. We couldn't take radio and we want to listen to this and put it. What she put is what we listen to. And the majority of the music is in the morning, you listen to your news. In after coming on to 8, 9 o'clock, they put on their religious music until they start to cook. And that pot been cooking from 10 o'clock, 12, 1:30, just finishing cook. So the majority of the music we used to listen at home is religious music. When we go outside, we listen to other music. I'm also a friend in our school party, at Sarau, we call it, okay, we listen to our music. But I wasn't so acquainted with the music, so I can't tell you those days what music most used to. But I know it's most used to be something like rock or something. A lot of shaking up. Not reggae, that wasn't exist in my time. This is now. But there was more bolero, balada, salsa in those days. But I was more home too because I was trying to tie up because I was getting out of hand. So they pulled me. I said I was more, after I reached certain age, I calmed down. Now, I love most my romantic music and slow music. Not too much nice. Now I like to eat my rice and peas and my chicken, my rice and peas with my pork meat and my fried plantain. Or my rice and peas with fish, stuffed fish, and my chicha. Same as our dish regular, practically at home today. Because my children don't eat meat, so we don't fool much at home with beef. Chicken, fish, and that's it. Yes, Archangel Michael, because right now I am the bishop, leader of the St. Michael Revival Spiritual House of Prayer. So my Saint Archangel and the Archangel. Now the saint is Saint Jude Thaddeus. It's two different. One is the angel is Michael and the saint is Saint Jude Thaddeus. I identify myself as a calm, collected person. Think twice before I act. And when I'm going to do something, I try to first to find out what I'm going to gain out of it, or what will be the negative side of it before I go forward. And I just like to be calm.
Take care.
With my culture? Oh, yes. Yes. I am an African descendant. And that's the reason why I am most in the revival movement, because it is more attached to the descendants. Although my cousin told me that we say that we are African descendants, but for us really to get into, we would have to get into the history of the African descendants, which we don't really get into as yet. We just say it because of what we heard. But now that we go and study the African descendants, because first he said that we don't speak the language of African. First he said that we don't live as African live. And so many of the culture that we have, that we say that we are African descendants, we don't really practice it. But that's what he said, okay? But according to all where I move around and I just carry around by history, that we are a part of African descendants and our culture comes from African descendants and we are moving on into the African descendants. So, and according to school, they say that we come from Africa, then we come according to the Antilles and we travel on until our descendants reach to where we are. But we the young people, we don't trace our culture. We just stop as what we hear. And worse, with the young one, we don't want to hear anything else because they don't want to speak English from the beginning, which is a part of the culture. Many don't want to believe that they are dark skin. We say that, no, we are chocolate. We are chocolate. My color is black and I'm black. And we, at home, we practice English. My daughter, she understands English very good. She don't want to speak English because she says it's not to speak. But we don't speak Spanish at home. We speak English. Okay? Because it's a part of, if it's not even what we know, it's a part of what we grow up in. So we continue it that it don't die. Okay? So I identify myself as a part of the Jamaican African descendant, whatsoever it is. I identify myself of a part of it. Very little, because the majority of them didn't like to give you the history. Many have to tell you, you will learn. And they just leave it that they will learn. And many of the old ones die with many of the culture and the history, because they don't pass it on. And who pass it on right now? The brains is not working to remember many things. So very few things I know about that, okay? Not much.
So,
okay. That's interesting. West Indies. We the West Indies, as I call myself, is a part that we are very active people. We are very active, but segregation, we said it in English, segregation has caused us to withdraw ourselves from participating in many things. But I know that we are very intelligent. If we get the opportunity, we can express our intelligence, but we don't have much opportunity. But I know that we are just cultural, cool, calm, and calm. Just give us the opportunity, and we will demonstrate that we have the capacity to go forward. It's not. We need more to express our culture. We need Panama. We say that it's have a liberty, but it have a lot of same distinction cultural. Okay, because for instance, if you want to do something and you go forward, and it's both of you all going to do same thing. If you are a little clear, you get opportunity. And you're a little dark, they tell you come back, we will call you, and so forth. So it's kind of, in Panama, it's not so, it don't show outward, but inward, in the hemisphere that have power, it is there. It don't give us that liberty to go forward.
Speak English and are black here.
We have discrimination in Panama. We have discrimination in Panama. And the majority have, we have to talk about the past, but not the present. No, because the present, no, everybody wants to learn to speak English. And everyone wants to mix up with the English-speaking people to learn to a little English. But let us say a couple years ago, we had a discrimination. At least in history, I don't know. But they told me, my parents told me that in Panama, once you couldn't speak English, you had to speak Spanish to be a Panamanian. Because if you speak English, you are not a Panamanian, and they look to send you back home and get on the Marcus Garvey boat back to Jamaica. No, so, and you still have the root, little roots around. But like, oh no, the technology have been advanced now that everybody have to learn English. Now everybody want to be amongst with speaking English speaking people to see what they can get from us. I don't know if they want to just use this opportunity, or is door, God's opening door for us English speaking people to go forward in this new area of modernism. No, could be. I don't know. The Lord knows.